Hello, and welcome to the CX Live, an interview-style podcast addressing topics, trends, and tips for creating real-time digital experiences in a customer-first, customer-last world. This show for briefing and meeting professionals brings you authentic and unfiltered conversations with industry experts who know how to elevate customer experience across people, teams, and programs. Let's listen in.
Welcome, everyone, to our CX Live podcast series dedicated to today's briefing professionals. I'm Darby Neeson-Werner, Senior Director, Events and CX Briefings with Inpixion. I'm excited to be interviewing thought leaders across our industry who can share their experiences and ideas to help us all improve our programs. Today, our discussion focus is on trends in AV technology to elevate visitor engagement. Briefing teams have had to reevaluate so many aspects of their programs over the past couple of years. We're all experiencing the uncertainty of whether guests and internal stakeholders will be attending our engagements in person or virtually. And as a new practice, being prepared for an in-person visit to instantly require enabling a remote experience. An important element for programs and their executive management is how technology, and specifically audiovisual technology, can elevate the experience. From showcasing the brand to providing a new level of communication during our briefings, teams need to address their long-term strategy for creating equality during these engagements. And with the trend of returning to the office, more attention is focused on how to keep employees like your discussion leaders happy and engaged as well. Today, we'll discuss this and get into some of the latest technologies that can support our evolving briefing industry. And today, I'm so excited to be joined by George Assacio, Sales Manager of Client Experiences with Jupiter Systems. George has over 25 years of technical marketing and customer experience success, having focused on providing thought leadership, strategy, and growth for enhancing the way you engage with your customers. Implementing leading-edge customer engagement techniques, especially when it comes to integrating technology to create immersive brand experiences, George has the ability to grasp the technical and the human side of technologies. George has contributed to many beautiful yet innovative briefing centers, including McAfee, Boeing, and SAP, just to name a few. Currently, George is the Client Experience Manager for Enterprise at Jupiter Systems, a 40-year-old innovation company focused on real-time collaborative visualization technology. And I've known George for nearly 15 years now. I will always remember touring the VeriSign Briefing Center during the ABPM Spring Conference. And George has always had a love for technology, and I'm thrilled that he's involved in providing amazing solutions to the briefing industry. And with that, I will say hi, George. And I'm so happy to have this time with you today. And thanks so much for getting together and being able to share your insights on all this techie stuff for our briefing audience.
Yes, Darby, thank you so much. What an introduction, huh? so happy for this opportunity to speak to you and your audience. 51 episodes. That's fantastic. I'm proud of you. That's what you do, a wonderful, wonderful job. So this is fun. I look forward to this conversation.
Oh, thanks. Me too. And so, you know, from all the podcasts that I just love hearing about everybody's unique journey to the briefing world. And I would love to hear yours.
This is where I get to age myself, right?
Right. We all do.
So I studied information systems at St. Leo University in Florida, just north of Tampa. And early in my career, I started as a sales engineer, just always had a thirst for technology, working for different early stage internet companies that were focused on selling network security and pipes to the internet with T1 lines, et cetera. I've always had a good grasp of technology and being able to communicate it to a non-technical audience. I think that is has always been my superpower. And, you know, starting the journey here was with the EBC programs. I was made aware of an opportunity at VeriSign to become the technical marketing manager of an EBC. I had no idea what the program was at the time at all. So Linda Lopez showed me the ropes. She was the manager of the briefing program back then in Mountain View, California. Yeah. And she really taught me the whole premise of the program, from hospitality to technology to the Association of Briefing Program Managers. Mm-hmm. Just learned a ton. I was tasked with the demonstrations and presentations in the Executive Briefing Center there at VeriSign. Mm-hmm. And I often talk about that time with folks that was my MBA. I learned so much there. And folks that are looking to get into a briefing program, you can really learn a ton from the folks that you're supporting. I learned so much from a lot of the leaders at VeriSign. Matter of fact, one guy was our sales leader. He was a sales director at the time, and he wound up becoming the CEO of Mr. Donovan over at AT&T. And there's a lot of examples of that from VeriSign, where a ton of folks, we'd bring in CEOs from Sony, and the stories just go on and on about, and I just learned so much about presentation and how to mix and match products, solutions. Mm-hmm. And Linda taught me the ropes with the hospitality, and it all matters.
It really does.
So it's a great, I think, opportunity for folks to, get in, and it's a great professional career, I think. And from there, I just learned a lot of different, engagement technologies and how to create a journey through a space for visitors. Yep. I was hired by Downstream shortly after that as their director of business development. We hired them at VeriSign to help us with a couple of engagement opportunities, and learned a ton while being at Downstream and how to really up the brand and engage and create engagement opportunities through that customer journey. Just have worn a lot of different hats along the way, which have been fantastic and fun for me. I worked for an integration firm as the director of business development for Applied Communications. I worked Downstream again. I opened up an office for them in San Jose. I worked for Cisco Security for a bit. I worked with content providers also, like Blue Telescope, as their VP of Business Development. Yeah. Started my own firm, did a couple of nice engagements before COVID hit, and then decided to work for this manufacturing company based out of Silicon Valley called Jupiter Systems, which I actually love. They have really innovative engineering ideas and products, and it's been a fun ride.
Well, and I'm excited to have you back again in the briefing.
Thank you.
Right. So we get to do this whole briefing connection thing again and stuff. So mm-hmm. Fabulous. Yes. And with that, I am so looking forward to our conversation. And I think, this is a really important topic for folks now. I mean, it has always been, but especially as we're looking at folks coming back into their spaces and, oh my gosh, what does that mean for what they're doing and the strategies and everything else? And so on that note, let's start with kind of what are your thoughts about the role that AV plays in that customer experience and that customer journey you just talked about inside those briefing centers?
Sure. I think it's critical. It's critical in a couple of aspects for briefing centers. Number one, I always look at AV in this way. It's, you go into designing these spaces that educate and elevate the brand messaging in the space, number one. Mm-hmm. And number two, because within these briefing center programs, you have a ton of meeting spaces, either externally or within meeting rooms, mm-hmm. That really allow for the meeting equity, the ability to communicate and collaborate equally. A room that is functional for communicating and collaborating. And we hear this every day, the hybrid model. It's real important. It's a challenge, but those are two critical aspects, I think, of any briefing center, is really being able to, have that challenge to take care of those types of opportunities that come in.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah, we're hearing it all over the place that, folks are definitely having to make sure that they are ready for those hybrids. As I was saying in the intro too, being able to be prepared for folks to come in person and then, oops, you know, you don't get all of them in there. So, you know, it just being ready for that. So yeah, I think having the technology in place and having it be reliable and tested and you've utilized it, you've practiced, if you will,
exactly
for these folks. And, you know, as we'll talk about too today, you know, some folks might be just beginning that journey of reexamining what they have in their spaces because they're just coming back, where others have been, you know, back in person for a while, just depending on where you're at.
So, we talk to C-suite executives all the time, and that's, you know, their main concern is employee retention. You know, how do you get entice people to get back to the office? Employee retention and attainment as well. So how do you do that? And, you know, one of the best places really to do that is a briefing center, because that is kind of the heart of your company. So, you know, you talk about workplace designs, you know, that being more purpose-built, you know, display configurations are really, really important today. We saw that at Infocom recently. Being able to, become ergonomically correct and comfortable. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. But you know, we hear again going back to the meeting equity. We hear a lot about the collaboration, but you know, the in-room experience is really important. We want that to be best in class as well, just like we want the full experience for folks.
Yeah, there's so many reasons why this is all so important for the briefing programs. I liked what you just said too about, you know, the executives, they're concerned as well, like, you know, employee retention and things, and that applies to our briefings. That's, you know, for executives as well as discussion leaders, like how our programs are worrying about how we're going to be able to have those folks come in and be there for those customer engagements when we know that the customers are coming in person and how we do that. So that's important. And then you were mentioning about Infocom and kind of some of the configurations and things that you saw there. You know, can you talk more about what were some of the technologies that, you know, caught your eye when you're there, and can these be applied to the briefing programs as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, I saw a lot at Infocom regarding, you know, the future of work, hybrid experiences, and, you know, collaboration spaces. Those are things that, you know, we hear about all the time, but, you know, how do you get those done? And what we're seeing here is that, you know, I think what I saw at the show was, number one, a lot of people went, which was great. Yes, so we're kind of back, almost back to normal, which is fantastic. And a lot of folks were excited to see new technologies and whatnot. But I think, bringing folks from the home back into the centers, back into offices is truly important. So that, you know, you hear of meeting equity, and that is really important. The ability to create equal experiences for meeting participants in all workspaces. It plays a major role in a company's success. It affects how you engage and how productive your teams are. Hybrid work is the future of work, period. There's a statistic that I read recently from Gartner that says 53% of the U.S. workforce, the 53% of the U.S. workforce is currently working from home, 31% worldwide. It's interesting statistics.
Oh, yeah. That's very interesting, because I kind of would have thought that 53% would still be a little bit higher.
Like, me too.
Wouldn't think that everybody would, that would be back in. So that means, maybe that means folks are kind of going between the two, I would think, because we've also heard, like, you know, the Apples and the different companies saying, okay, folks have to come in 2 or 3 days a week, but then you still get to work from home for the other part of the week.
Exactly.
And so it is that, okay, how can you be comfortable in your home space, which, oh my gosh, I don't know about anybody else, but my, visits to my chiropractor. Over the last year. You get settled in your home space, and then you go into the office, and, you know, you may have offices or cubes that you go to that are yours, but we're also seeing folks are, you know, real estate, and they're downsizing, and, you know, you have to book space. Now, briefing programs, I would hope that people are actually, like, going into, you know, a set space and area for them. But, you know, even in that, you know, how do you make sure that that's working for folks so that, you know, people can stay healthy and all of that, right?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's important. I would offer this to your audience as well as I read recently, you know, Google has a good representation of how they look at meeting equity and equality in the office. Three pillars that they talk about: representation equity, participation equity, and information equity. Oh. And it's a really good read if you have a chance. Just Google it, Google three pillars, and it'll come up. Okay. But going back to what you stated earlier about the different technologies, is one of them was the ultra wide displays. And I could talk about that all day long because we have that at Jupiter Systems. Yeah. But it does play in. There was a market research paper, IDC, that was sponsored by Dell that came out that said, and this was 2 years ago, that 74% of IT decision makers consider employee experience a top priority. And this all plays into kind of what we're talking about. And again, back to the office, the future of work. 81% of employees believe advanced monitors will improve overall work experience, including ergonomics. And that goes to what you just stated about going to the chiropractor. So these ultra wide displays, you know, we look at, as humans, we look at visual data side to side on a horizontal plane. And that's what it gets you. It gets you more real estate side to side. So this way you could just see straight ahead instead of having to look up. And that's typically what we see in a lot of the configurations, unfortunately, of these rooms. And this ultra wide 21x9 monitors that are coming out, it really speaks to that. And it helps with those workplace designs to, it helps define more thoughtful and purpose-built configurations.
Yeah, dare I say, I experienced that myself. You know, here's the laptop in front of me and there's my screen up there and I am, you know, pulling my head back to see up to the big screen. So I just stopped using it. Honestly, stopped using it. It's really sad. all of these kind of technologies, how do we make that work? And, you know, if we take that and then we look at how do we move into the collaboration spaces that we have in briefings where we're actually in the conference rooms. So, you know, how do we take that? And, you know, there's probably the video conferencing and there's the OWL technology that I had seen a while back and how you have the displays and audio, right? All of those.
Audio plays a big role. Yeah. It's often forgotten about a bit, but it definitely plays a big role. And, you know, going back to some of the things that I saw there, so they you know, there were obviously tools to help with that out there as far as video conferencing. Microsoft, I'll talk about that a little bit later. They're utilizing the ultra wide displays in a very thoughtful manner. Other things that are coming out, LED walls with built-in cameras, that is going to be an amazing thing coming out soon.
LED video walls with built-in camera.
Yeah, a camera that you can't see.
Okay, so talk about that. That's new.
Think of a boardroom with a huge video wall configuration. And being able to do video conference while the CEO is standing up and looking at the far end, just at the wall, at eye gaze, eye level, and no one can see
the camera's right there looking back at him.
Correct.
Wow.
And the room. So it's a good experience for the far end and the near end as well. And that's what we're, you know, that speaks to that in-room equity.
Yeah. That's very cool. All right.
Yeah. And then, you know, we see a lot of the different things out with the brand expression within a program. Again, that plays into the C-suite trying to keep their talent. And, you know, it's as we see in many of these beautiful EBCs globally, you know, the companies that do a good job of it really elevating the brand in these spaces, that, you know, that's not going to go away. You need to have a great home court advantage there. And that, you know, this, you know, that hasn't changed at all. We're still looking for the wow, as we talked about in day one.
always looking for that. And, you know, it feels like folks are, it's kind of like trying to simplify as well, you know, I mean, with the customer journey, like you mentioned too, you know, customer journey and being able to map out where people are going in the spaces and what they're doing. How can you simplify it for them, give them the kind of experience that they want to have, but how can technology support our programs in doing that? How can they even know what's out there, right? So I would love if you could talk about kind of what are the key considerations that those briefing programs really have to keep in mind if they're either going to reevaluate what they're doing, even if they can't do a full-blown upgrade or just build a new thing, right? Because some folks out there, you know, they're building some amazing new centers. But others, you know, they're just going to reevaluate and try and upgrade. So what are the things you would
I love talking about this. And I think, you know, budgets aside, I always start with asking clients blue sky. What do you want to see in the center? If you had no budget constraints at all, what would you like?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, start there and start with your partners and making that vision come true. You know, break it into smaller projects once you do define what you'd like to see blue sky, and then find what it looks like financially and see if it fits into your budget. Definitely include your C-suite. I think that's important. You know, all your partners, your AV integration partners, your content partners, your, pardon me, your IT folks, include them all. It's real important to get everyone's visibility into what you're looking at. And I think it's... I always love that blue sky because I think you can cut it down from there and really create something that's really special in the space.
Yes, I will always use that term, value engineer it down.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. And I can say that because Rick, you know, he was my guy for Downstreet, right? When we did it at Xilinx. And
absolutely.
Harb, you're going to have to value engineer that down because that is what my
budgets are real. Budgets are real.
Guys said too. Yes. I'm like, okay, budgets they prepared me ahead of time to have to do that. So that was a
good. Yeah, budgets are real. And then look, you know, I would suggest look at what's working and what's not working in the space. I think that's real important. I think we don't evaluate that enough. You know, look at the actual functionality of the equipment. And again, work with your partners to find out, okay, what is new and exciting out there? Is it meeting your current expectations? Is it meeting your clients' expectations, your internal clients, along with your outside clients? I think that's important.
Right. And, you know, what's working and what's not working, as we said, you know, with that customer journey. So, you know, are you keeping the same kinds of equipment in the conference room itself? You know, obviously your customers are going to walk in and they're going to be in, not completely obviously, but for most briefing programs, you're going to end up in a conference room of some kind to have the conversation.
Correct.
But okay, so maybe, you know, you're doing design thinking in those rooms or whatever. And like we talked about, you've got, you know, video conferencing and the capabilities to bring in the remote folks to be part of that whole conversation. But then when you go out into the rest of the space where maybe you've got demonstrations and you've got different equipment that is there, those displays and things you were talking about, how do you bring in some of that latest and greatest technology just to make sure that, you know, that another thing, I'm just throwing this out because I'm just now thinking about it.
Absolutely. But,
you know, as folks go into the space, even thinking for their customers, does everybody have the same experience? Do they go through the flow the same exact way? Or is there a way to make it more unique for folks now, where, you know, where they can kind of self-select in ways of where they're going? Now, other programs, you know, they'd never want folks to go and roam around by themselves. That's just not part of it. You know, so there's kind of two thoughts there of how to do that. But so anyways, back to your point of, you know, having folks get together, look at their blue sky, look at what is currently working, what is not, kind of make their lists, I would think, of what are things that, you know, potentially maybe they're older technologies now, and especially because they haven't been used in a couple of years in most cases, you know, what are the things that, you know, you really want to put on the list to see about, you know, replacing or upgrading and doing a different thing that makes that experience different altogether, if you can. But then what about that equipment? You were saying work with the partners and how people know what's out there.
The other suggestion I have here is don't be afraid of new technology. I know a lot of folks I talk to, they're afraid to jump in And I say that only because use your partners, use your AV partners, demo the equipment, work with your partners to see what might work, what folks want. Again, feedback's important, as we all know, especially from your C-suite members. That's truly, truly important. But, you know, maybe set up a room within the space with all this new equipment, you know, have set up prototypes within your center, and have all folks come in to test it and get feedback. But I wouldn't be afraid. You know, AR and VR is beautiful, but it's not for everyone. And you've got to find that out. You've got to ask those questions.
Right. Exactly. Does it fit, or is it, you know, kind of a trendy, nice to have kind of thing right now? Where in other cases, I've seen programs where it really does elevate what they're doing just because of the technology and what they're offering. It makes sense. I think that's another thing to obviously keep in mind is what are you selling? What are you trying to, you know, have folks see in your centers? And if you're in that space, if technology is kind of your thing and you're able to make sure that it's, you know, represented and included. But okay, so my other question is, now you said, you know, if budget is no concern, well, you know, budget's almost always a concern, right? So, so how do we think about refresh in the general term, not just right now when folks haven't been in there for 2 years or whatever, but in general, like, how long does AV usually last? I always thought about it as kind of a 5-year thing, but anymore things change so fast. I don't know if that's true.
You're absolutely correct. It does change quickly, and it depends on the equipment itself, right? It depends on the wear and tear on the equipment as well within the space. But typically, I think a good rule of thumb would be anywhere from 3 to 5 years. I would lean closer to the 3. AV is not cheap, but it's a necessity to have. It's always a challenge too, because AV should wow, but it should also be seamless. So that's really difficult.
Not so in your face somehow, you know. And we've always said too, like, you don't want to walk in and like there's just a bunch of displays there that aren't really doing anything, just so you can, you know, pitch marketing stuff at people. And, you know, it has to serve a purpose. It really has to serve a really great purpose. And it is part of that, you know, touch point as you go along the journey for them.
And I think, you know, to keep the center fresh, you know, again, work with your partners, your content providers, your marketing teams, because I always look at a briefing center kind of as a website. It should change often, not as often as a website, obviously, but it should change, you know, once a quarter, once every 2 quarters. I'm not sure what, you know, it depends on the actual culture of the company and whatnot, but it should always be a different sort of experience, I feel, for your clients coming through a space, because they're going to come through it, hopefully, you know, 2, 3, 4
times. Right.
Yeah. So if they can learn something new with fresh content that is in the space, there you go. That's really extending, I think, the life of the AV equipment itself.
Right. Well, and especially now too, with, you know, folks coming in person and they're there and visit you, and then maybe they're involved in a remote briefing, you know, 6 months from now or whatnot, is there something that they are able to visually see or experience? Like, you know, we were at Google Cloud, you know, bring up Google again, because we went through their space and they had this, you know, they put in the broadcast studio and they did all this great stuff, but you've got in-person folks going around their different vignettes of their demos, and they've got cameras that are showcasing those demos and where people are going. So the remote folks can follow along with the folks that are there in person. And
I love it.
So even, right. So even if they're remote and they're seeing this vignette, okay, if they come back in, you know, 6 months, 9 months or whatever, is it going to be the same as the last time, or can you do something that wows them? And like you said, working with marketing and content, and how do you update that? Maybe you can't change out the whole entire vignette or all of the equipment, the AV things there. But I think those are some of the investments, you know, that can be made to, again, elevate the experience for those remote folks. And, you know, where does it make sense to add cameras? But, you know, then maybe you get into the broadcast studio thing, and then you have to have an engineer and goes down a whole nother rat hole. But being able to look at what works for your program, what are the things that work for what you're trying to accomplish from that vision exercise that you talked about, I think is super cool. Yeah. And, you know, as I've mentioned also many, many times, because I had it happen to me, is, you know, you go and you do this refresh, or you go and do a renovation like I did for a center, and you get all the money to do that. And then where's the money to do the maintenance and the licenses and the
refurb? Yes, that is something folks do forget about. And it's absolutely important, especially the annual licenses. There's a lot of times there's equipment out there that you may get for the first year free, and you kind of forget. Guess what? They said they were going to charge you for it in year two, and you didn't put it in your budget. So those are things, you know, to work out with your IT and your AV teams as well. And really staying on top of the maintenance and those licenses for the space. And just keep close, you know, again, my recommendation is just this: keep close relationships with your AV partners. I keep on repeating that over and over again, but I think it's, you know, to be successful in a program, I think you really have to have those types of partners that, you know, hey, XYZ program, you know, we're learning about this new technology that's coming out. Would you like to demo it? You know, have those conversations often. This way you could look toward tomorrow if you don't have the budget today.
Well, exactly. And, you know, even doing it in phases, like you said, you know, chunk it out. What can you do in a first phase, second phase? We see that happen a lot from content, but also with equipment, you know, in phases. So, no, I think that's key. And I wonder if, you know, AV companies, just like, you know, a lot of us are doing, you know, quarterly business reviews. And, you know, being able to bring it up in that and just make it one of the standard things that you make sure is on the agenda every time is, hey, what's the latest and what's the time frame? Because I imagine some of this stuff, right, you hear about it happening, you maybe see it at Infocom, but when is it really available?
Sure.
Like, is it, you know, 6 months away, or especially with supply chain issues right now?
Absolutely.
A whole year away, you know, you can plan for it, but then you got to figure out, when do you budget for it? When does it actually, you know, arrive?
Yes.
Kind of things as well. So, yes. Well, okay. And with all of those ideas and whatnot, so what are some examples? Can you share maybe an example with a company that you've worked with that's implemented some of this latest technology? And, you know, how did that add value for them? How did it change the experience for them?
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the use cases I can use here is with Microsoft and Jupyter's partnership with Microsoft. Infocom was a huge success for, I think, both companies. And, you know, I think we both came out separately with 21x9. This is the ultra wide displays that we're talking about.
Oh, okay. 21x9.
Talking about best in class experiences.
Okay.
So they decided to go from 16:9 to 21:9, which is really allowing them to showcase their talking heads on the bottom of the screen, put metadata on either side, and put your, say, PowerPoint presentation in the middle. So it's really creating this best-in-class experience for a video conference. The ultra-wide displays help with that. If you need, you know, bigger rooms, there's a bunch of video wall technology as well that would help with that. But that's one of the biggest things we saw. I think this emergence of the ultra wide displays and how important they are now, and they're coming out to help with a lot of these issues.
Okay. All right. So talking heads at the bottom, PowerPoint in the middle. Okay. All right. So that's what those are being utilized inside of the briefing conference rooms then.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's a Microsoft Teams product.
Called
Front Row. It just came out in February.
Front Row.
We're working with them to create this best in class experience for video conferencing. It's been a fun ride with them. And then, you know, one of the other things we see here is, I spoke a little bit earlier, is these LED walls. One of the use cases we had is, these big screens, it's 8 feet of glass. They're huge. They also go in portrait mode as well, which is fantastic. So we had a use case where we had a Fortune 1000 company come to us out of the blue, and they had planned on building these video walls on, I believe it was 8 pillars. So the cost of something like that would have typically been $80,000 per pillar for the video wall. They looked at this substitute for the ultra wide display, the 8 feet of glass, putting it in portrait mode. they save themselves close to $300K putting that in, because the infrastructure wow. costs are a lot less. And it was, it's a better experience as well. Visually, it's just beautiful. So those are kind of the two, I think, use cases that I've saw for some of this technology. Wow. Just being able to look at other things. That's the suggestion here too. And I guess the moral of the story, if you will, is, you know, see if there's other things that you can put into play that will better utilize your budget in the space.
There's different options. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, here's the Mercedes and here's the, you know,
exactly
Toyota or whatever. If it functions and it does the, you know, same exact thing and, you know, newer technology. So again, it'll last you longer, hopefully. Hey, that's a good option. So,
exactly.
Fantastic. Well, great. Those are cool. See, now I want to go see that and play.
And I wish I could have gotten more into the Infocom floor when I was there, but I was working. So yeah, it was hard.
Dave, can I go? I want to go see, you know.
Exactly.
Where to put this? Exactly. See it. All right. So, well, George, thanks. This is great. And, you know, I always love to wrap up with lessons learned. So, you know, if you can summarize kind of what are the key things for folks to take away and think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, having done this for so long and so many different types of roles and seeing, you know, success and folks, you know, not have so much success. I think, you know, one of the things I would suggest is plan early. That's the biggest thing. You know, you may not have the budget today. But be ready for when you do, because the budget will come, because you're going to work hard to get that budget.
Right. Doing the research to understand what works and, you know, what could work within your company, your culture. And
And just remember that the cycles for design, planning and approvals are long. So the more you can get out in front of that, the better.
Yep.
Very true. And again, I said earlier, don't be afraid of technology. Work with your partners to become familiar with it, to ensure the functionality, if it's right for your space, because it may not be right, but it may be perfect. And it may be something that you didn't know was out there. But I think, you know, your AV partners are very strong advocates for presenting new technologies. So I think, you know, utilize them as best you can. Right. And I think folks are kind of afraid sometimes to include your executives, but you know, as we know, for the program itself, you need executive support.
You
also need support for, you know, this type of engagement as far as looking at different AV and different technologies within their space. Because bottom line is they're going to sign the check at the end of the day. So bring them in, engage them, let them see, let them play with the demo equipment, what's out there. Maybe try to bring them out if, you know, to the, your partners, your AV partner space or another space where you feel a good technology would be a good fit for your center.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I think, you know, a lot of folks, and depending on who your executives are at any given time, could be really afraid to do that. And so, you know, step over and out of the comfort zone and, you know, try it. You never know unless you try. And especially, like you said, if they're going to be involved, they come in the center and they're signing the bottom line, it'd be great for them to feel like they had some say in, you know, the technology that's chosen, if you can get some of their time to be involved.
Exactly. And if you're aligning, with their business objectives for the company with what you're doing in the program, I think that's a formula for great success.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, there's nothing worse than you go and you implement something and then they walk through the center and go, oh, what's that? Or, oh, I don't like that. We all haven't had that happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. So get them involved early on. I think it's a really good call. So, all right. Well, George, thank you so much. There's all kinds of great info in here. And I loved hearing about, you know, these things I hadn't heard about before, this, you know, camera and the big wall thing and all of that. And shoot, you know, the cost savings that is possible in replacing some of this stuff. That I think itself is pretty incredible. So thank you so much. I really
appreciate it. Of course. I love it. This is great. Always good to chat. And you know, anyone that has any additional questions, your audience members, have them, you know, contact me. My door's always open. Love to have these conversations. This is what I do. I love this. I love helping folks.
Fantastic. Thank you. And putting it in layman's terms, you know, that's important for some of us who are not as techie on some of that equipment. and you know, dare I say interoperability.
Yes.
Ooh, there's a catchphrase, right? you know, knowing what works together, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like we have that on our side, you know, how do you automate and put things together? But if you that certain things are either required to work together or that they can, how do you leverage that and save yourself some effort and time and money in the process, you know?
Yeah.
That's AV integrators, right?
And that, yeah, absolutely. Sure. That's what you're paying them for.
That's right. That's right. Awesome. Thank you again, George.
You so much, Darby. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. All right. And I will say thank you to everyone listening today. And you can listen to this and other episodes in our series by visiting www.inpiction.com/podcasts or through the My ABPM community app. And please subscribe to stay informed about future podcast episodes. And if you have any thoughts or questions about today's podcast or any ideas for future briefing industry podcast topics, the best way to reach me is by email, and that's darby@inpiction.com. And thanks for listening.
The CX Live podcast is brought to you by Inpiction, your enterprise partner for customer briefing programs, events, and the workplace. For more insights, visit www.inpiction.com, where technology meets experience.